From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in November with an announcement from Governor Kathy Hochul. The governor shared that after decades, there would no longer be a backlog in certification applications for minority and women-owned businesses. This issue may not be top of mind for the general public, but the implications of the backlog are far-reaching. It opens the door to economic growth, job creation, and new investments in communities across the state, including here in the Rochester and Finger Lakes region. The elimination of that backlog was made possible by an $11 million investment in the 2023 state budget. As Hochul said last year, quote, "The backlog in the MWBE system was unfair, it was unjust, and now it's history. Minority and women-owned businesses are critical to New York's long-term economic success, and I made it a top priority to finally end the backlog so these entrepreneurs have the tools they need to grow and thrive," end quote. When it comes to putting that goal into practice, the governor shared that the state awarded contracts to minority and women-owned businesses at a rate of more than 32% during the 2023 fiscal year. That's the highest rate in the country for the third year in a row. That's all happening at the state level. What happens locally? The city of Rochester is gearing up to host its second annual Upstate Minority and Women-Owned Business Enterprise Conference. The goal is to help minority and women business owners learn how they can compete for government contracts. And this hour, we're talking with local MWBE owners. We're going to talk about the challenges that business owners face, the successes they've had, what the city wants to see happen here, and what their goals are in this space. You're going to hear MWBE a lot, Minority and Women Business Enterprises. And let me welcome our guest this hour. Constance Mitchell Jefferson is the purchasing agent for the city of Rochester. Constance, welcome back to the program. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Evan. Appreciate it.
And I know you've got a big conference coming up. It's coming up on from the weekend, essentially. Not the weekend. Going into May 8th through the 10th.
May 8th through 10th. That's, yeah, that's a Wednesday through Friday.
There's the dates. May 8th through the 10th. We're going to have a link so you can register, or you can go on now to the city of Rochester's website and you can register. Can you tell listeners what your role is as the purchasing agent for the city?
Yes. So as the purchasing agent for the city, I am responsible for signing off on all of the contracting that the city does for procurement. That could be anything from commodities, public works construction projects, as well as professional services contracts for the city.
So you see up close how many minority and women-owned businesses are getting contracts.
Definitely.
How are we doing?
We're doing really good. We started this process in 1989 as an organization, and in 2014, I came on board as the city's MWBE officer. At that time, I was tasked by former Mayor Lovely Warren to look at the process to determine if it works, if it's not working, what could we do better. And in 2017, I rewrote the MWBE legislation. In 2018, it was passed. And since 2018, the city has had a four-pronged approach to MWBE and procurement that consists of public works construction, professional services consulting, construction consulting, and commodities. And we've done extremely well. We started out at about $4.5 million in 2017-18, and this past June we were at $31.3 million in MWBE spend.
That's a big change.
So for 5 years, yes, we've had tremendous growth.
Seven or eight fold. Do you know the women who are sitting across from me here?
I do know both of them quite well.
Let me welcome them now. Sabrina Russell is the owner of SC Russell Trucking. Sabrina, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Lenora Page is the owner of Rochester Specialty Contractors, Inc. Lenora, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, it's great to have both of you, and we're going to hear their stories in just a moment here. Constance, you know, I mean, I suppose there are listeners right now hearing this conversation thinking, when are we going to be at the point where we don't need MWBE?
I would hope that in my lifetime I see that to be true, to be honest. I think that, you know, sometimes we get pushback from, you know, prime contractors that say, oh, you know, it's like I'm being told who I have to work with or whatever. And you know, my response to that is we don't make the rules, we just enforce them. You know, we administer them. And federally, this is a federal, MWBE is a federal designation, although it is certified at a state level. So my hope is that eventually in this world, there will no longer be a need to separate businesses by gender and ethnicity. It'll just be small businesses and everybody will have the same level playing field.
I want to be direct and kind of blunt about where some of the discourse has been in this space lately, and I want to ask you about it before we hear our guest stories here. One of the really insidious and, frankly, I think deeply racist ideas that has been out there, and it's out there a lot on social media, which I've been trying to wean myself off of, but it's in the political discourse, and it's the idea that if you do things this way, if you focus on MWBE, if you have diversity and initiatives, that somehow less qualified people are going to end up with the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably crystallized most shockingly by Charlie Kirk when he said last year that if he notices that he gets on a plane and the pilot is black, he's nervous about whether the pilot can fly the plane.
Wow.
Which is a horribly, obviously racist thing to say. He tries to back it up by saying, I'm just saying, I think people who are, you know, it should be quality first. The implication is that there aren't perhaps MWBE of quality. There aren't mm-hmm. women of quality who could own and run a company, that could provide services for a city, that could do any number of important jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you directly about the quality of the work mm-hmm. that you have been seeing, at least at the city level, in this space.
Definitely. I don't think that the city of Rochester is going to employ anyone that does not know what they're doing. I mean, our buildings are still standing. our streets are still passable.
You're not a charity.
That's it. I would say to anyone that feels like that, that, you know, there is some internal examination that needs to go on with you as an individual to think that just because a business is owned or operated by a minority or a woman, that it is less than. I would say that the quality of work that I see coming, and I have two examples right here, out of MWBE is good. I do know that, you know, traditionally MWBE businesses, you know, have the reputation of not being able to handle their business and not being able to manage the money and not being able to, you know, take the courses and things that are needed. That is where all of the MWBE support programs come in, because we're very real with the MWBEs. And Lenora will tell you, when I first started out in this job, my first meeting with Lenora was, so, you know, what's up at your company? What are you doing? You know, what do you need? Do you feel as though you need more training? And, you know, really blunt questions like that. If they are late on getting a certified payroll in, it's not because they're a minority or a woman. It's because they're busy and they didn't get a chance to get it in. So I would say, too, that any business out here, regardless of whether it be a minority or a woman-owned business, any small business or any big business that, you know, is out here today could have some of the same concerns about quality and the same concerns about, you know, the type of work that is being put out there. So I don't look at that, and the city doesn't look at that. And we work diligently with our prime contractors to dispel that. But I guess I'm old school. I come from the school that to whom much is given, much is expected. So if you have a company and you want to provide opportunities for people and you want to make a difference in this community, it's about we. It's not about me.
Well said. And this is going to probably shock no one that the safest way to travel in this country is still the airlines. We haven't had a commercial crash. And there are black pilots. Guess what? I mean, it just turns out that the industries will often overlook, whether it's small business owners, individuals who have talent and skills and workforces. So that's partially why we're here. So briefly, who do you want to come to this upcoming event from May 8th through the 10th?
So even though this is touted as being a MWBE upstate conference, I like to say that this is a business conference. So anyone that has a small business that's looking to network, that's looking to receive training, that's looking to build on partnerships and collaborations with individuals, whether that be from a resource perspective of someone that can give you funding, or whether that's someone that can give you a contracting opportunity, or whether that's someone that's, you know, offering assistance to you, technical assistance to you with your business in terms of business development or whatever. This is the conference for you to come to. But this conference is a four-region conference. New York State kind of Empire State Development divides New York State into nine regions. We just happen to have four of those regions right here in our backyard. We are the Finger Lakes region, which consists of the nine-county Finger Lakes region. We also have Western New York, which is anything other side of Batavia, going to Niagara Falls. We have Central New York, is pretty much everything from Canandaigua going east to Syracuse. And then we have the Southern Tier, which is kind of wraps around us. So I think that we will have individuals from all four regions attending this conference. And the reason why we decided to host this is we go to New York State for a lot of these conferences. And when we go, we have very little representation from upstate New York. And so one of the things that I determined early on in my career with the city as the MWBE officer first was that if I ever had an opportunity to do this in upstate New York, I was going to do it. And I've invited the folks from New York State so that they can see how we think the conference should be. And, you know, they've gladly accepted, you know.
And if someone is thinking about attending, they've never attended an event like this, what are the skills they're going to learn? What are they going to walk out with?
So every year we have theme. Last year it was growth, opportunity, and collaboration and community. And this year it is it's elevate, educate, and collaborate. So last year at the end of the conference, the training was really fundamental. It was about, you know, what do you need to know as an MWBE? So you got your certification. Now what? You know, and we kind of are leading off of last year's training, and we left that training last year with the conversation around what's changing in the marketplace. And what's changing in the marketplace is that small businesses have to learn how to work with each other, and they have to learn how to work with outside organizations if they are to survive. Because this economy and our marketplace today, you have to collaborate, and if you're going to get the big contracts, because there's not a lot of the small contracts anymore. Thankfully, New York State and the federal government is providing some phenomenal contract amounts. And if you want to be a member at the table, you may not be able to do it alone. You've got to learn how to collaborate in partnership. Well, that's where we're going to lead off with this. So the training this year, there are nine workshops, of which every participant will have an opportunity to choose three that they would like to attend. And each one has a theme of elevate, educate, collaborate. And if your thing is you want to learn more about collaboration, you go that track. If you want to just get some basic education, you go that track. And if you want to learn how to not only elevate yourself, your employees, but your business, then you would go in that track.
And where is this all taking place?
This is at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center.
At the convention center, Wednesday to Friday, May 8th through the 10th. Registration will be open through May 3rd, but you shouldn't wait if you plan to go. They would love to hear from you at the City of Rochester that you're coming and get yourself registered. And by the way, speaking of collaboration, I found out this morning WXXI is a media sponsor of this event.
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
Thank you.
That had no bearing on whether we'd already booked this conversation. And it's actually quite a credit to Allison Zero Jones and the whole other side of this floor, who does phenomenal work supporting XXI and growing WXXI. But they do not come down to news and say, hey, you know, we're doing this, and as a result, that just doesn't happen. So I literally had no idea, but WXXI is a media sponsor of this event.
And one of your staff people is the chair of our PR committee.
How about that?
So definitely.
You know, look, our heads are... Megan and I are down in our silo so much, we often have no idea where WXXI's tentacles are. So a lot happening there. I want to talk to our guests. Sabrina and Lenora have their own stories to tell. And I think that this will help really crystallize what it is that this is all about. Let me start with Lenora Page, who is the owner of Rochester Specialty Contractors, Inc. Tell us about what the company is.
Rochester Specialty Contractors, Inc. Is a company. We do asbestos abatement, lead, mold, interior demolition. We do renovations. So we've done quite a bit of work here in the city of Rochester. We started very small, three people. Now we have over 20 employees. And it's just interesting to see where the business started and where it's going. We have worked on, as I said, many projects, federal, state, city, local-wide. And we just, we've learned a lot in the process. The one thing that I did learn early on is to don't spend time complaining. You know, don't cry about it, but be about it. I mean, this is what the intention is to do, then go ahead and do it. And just make waves so that it can happen.
When did you launch the company?
Company started in 2007. I've been in the industry since 2003.
More than 20 years now.
Yes.
And so when you launched with just three people, what about it? Well, let me back up. How did you end up getting into this line of work to begin with?
I started working with my two brothers. Mm-hmm. They started it. They actually started in the 90s. You know, they were all excited about, you know, this new business with abatement and doing things of that nature. So I started working with them. I did the administration part of it. I actually filed for their initial MWBE certification and assisted them in getting that and doing, working on bids and contracts and things of that nature. They eventually moved away, and I found myself at a place where I needed to do something different. So this is what I had some experience in, along with some other things, legal and medical field as well. And administration that I went into this industry.
And so is there a most typical job that you have? I mean, is every single one kind of different? What does it look like?
Every job is different. Every day is different on each job. Nothing is pretty much the same. There's always things that could change the whole dynamics of the project. You may be looking at going one way, but then something comes up and you have to go another way. So you have to be adaptable to what the environment is, the contractors that you're working with, the agencies that you're working with. So you have to be able to, you know, kind of be able to step back and redirect yourself, pivot, and take another turn if necessary.
And you said it can be abatement of asbestos.
Asbestos. We do, our primary abatement is asbestos. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of asbestos abatement. And now with the new regulations for mold, we've gotten more into mold as well, lead. You know, there's some new guidelines and regulations that have come about due to some situations where they felt that a lot of senior citizens were being taken advantage of by people who said they were certified mold companies and they weren't. So laws are put into place where things have to be done differently. You just can't go in and do mold work. You know, you have to have a plan. The plan has to be approved. And you have to do so many different things to do the mold work in itself.
Isn't also that you might be hired if there is a repurposing or a retrofit of a building, if they're changing something from commercial to residential, if there's a significant construction work in the interior? Is that where you would come in?
Yes. Yes. A major part of it, and I know that New York really stresses it, because when you change the interior of a building, you've got to know, depending on when the building was built, is there any asbestos in it? And you could have renovated it 15 times since the building was originally built, but you still could find some component that still has some asbestos in it, and you'll have to remove that in lead, because lead is always found in mostly the older paints. So there's guidelines that have to be followed with that. So we're usually first in and sometimes first out based on the job that we're doing.
What do you know in 2024 that you would have loved to know in 2007?
You can't do it alone. You can't do it by yourself. And you have to take the time to learn new things. You have to be open to learning and adjusting to the environment and just the workforce in itself.
Have you had any struggle getting work or getting taken seriously when your brothers left and you were in charge and you kind of took over?
Yes. Yes. I've had a lot of that.
But what's that like?
It's it can be frustrating. It can be disheartening, because you can stand back and look and say, if it wasn't me and someone else, my counterpart, they wouldn't be experiencing this. But the reality is I am. So then what do I do? You know, do I let it take me down? Do I, you know, and sometimes you have your moment where you throw your own pity party, poor me. You know, I can't believe this is happening to me. How, you know, why would people do this? But they do. So what you have to do is say, okay, they're doing it. They've done it. So where do I go from here? What steps do I take? So
do you feel you've run into more of that because you're a woman in this field or because you are Black?
I think the first part of it is the first thing is because I'm Black, and then it becomes because I'm a woman. So I go in with a dual, you know, two strikes against me, as I used to say. I go in with two strikes against me. So now I've got to do double time to bring it to a place where they are comfortable with working with me, working with the team that I have. Because when we go out on a job site, it's not just me that you see that is a person of color. The team members are a person of people of color as well. So we're in there. Sometimes we may be five people. Sometimes we may be 20 people. But you're going to see all of those 15 to 20 people, five people that are going to be people of color. And they will be very professional. They will do the job that needs to be done. They'll do it in a timely manner. And then our goal is to get it done, you know, and move on to the next job.
Do you feel any sense of almost unfair pressure? Look, any small business is going to get judged on the quality of your work. And if you weren't doing quality work, you wouldn't get more work, right? I mean,
exactly.
That would probably be pretty fast. I wonder if there is an extra edge to this because you're a Black woman who owns a company and, you know, you feel like if they aren't thrilled with what we do, it's going to be hard to get the next job. It might have been hard to get this job. Is there additional pressure there?
There is additional pressure there because you have to always keep the lines of communication open. If things don't always go exactly as the way that, you know, people thought it should go or whatever, okay, what is it that you know, felt should have been different? How can we do this different? So there's extra pressure to make sure that you're following the guidelines, that, you know, you're doing everything you can to make sure the job is going well, and constant communication with your team members. You know, if they're running into an issue in the field, okay, what is the problem? Mm-hmm. Are you having a superintendent that purposely just don't want you there? You know, then we have to deal with that. So you have to constantly be aware of everything that's going on the project that you're working on.
Can you help me figure out if there's lead or asbestos in my house?
Yes.
Let's talk after the show today. Lenora, you were a WBE awardee last year. Was it last year?
Yes.
What did that mean to you?
It was very significant. Added extra, you know, encouragement to the work that I've put in the last 20 years, you know, to be recognized as a WB, a woman-owned business that, you know, that's striving to continue to do the business. And it's not just me, but it's the team that I work with, that we all work together to make sure that jobs are completed, that communication is open, that when someone thinks of work that they need done, you know, the first name that comes to their mind is, oh, Rochester Specialty. You know, Lenora can do it. Her team can do it. They'll go in, they'll do it, and everything will be well.
And by the way, you know, there may be people listening who would have known Flower City Monitor Services. Mm-hmm. So now the name change signifies the fact that, yes, you've got the specialty in remediation. You've been doing that for years. Mm-hmm. But it's general contracting too, right?
Yes. Yes. We've done some really nice renovations on some buildings locally around Rochester. So we rebranded 2021 just to expand our, you know, our scope of work and what we're doing and how we're doing it. And as you say, just to say, okay, we do a lot of abatement, we do a lot of remediation, but we also now have moved into the arena of a general contractor, prime, you know, getting jobs, project managing, and doing all of those things that we have a spectrum of different things that we can provide.
Lenora Page is the owner of Rochester Specialty Contractors, Inc. And Constance, do you want to describe a little bit about how you see the work of this particular company and how you think it fits the mission of what the city's doing here?
Definitely. The goal is to, when I came into this, you know, I remember meeting with some of the MWBE firms and I said, you know, what's the goal of an MWBE? And they said, to get paid. Because,
well,
you know, and I said, okay, yeah, that is a goal.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what is the goal? And so the ultimate goal for an MWBE business is to move from being a subcontractor to becoming a prime contractor. So as a prime contractor, you get to manage the project, like Lenora just said. You get to manage the project. You get to manage all of it. And I think that you get to hire subcontractors. So you get to reach back into that MWBE pool and pull some other folks up with you. I also think that in Lenora's case, and Lenora, I'm going to share the story that I always share. I had a meeting with Lenora probably, my second year on the job. And I said, okay, well, you know, you made it through another year. So what are you looking forward to this next year? And she said, I want to make $1 million after taxes. And I said, okay, well, that's a great goal, lofty, but I think it's great. You know, I said, you know the amount of work that you're going to have to put in for that? And she said, yes. And I saw her, and it was a year later before I saw her again. She turned around and went out there to pursue that. So I had lunch with her again. I said, so how'd you do? She said, snapped her finger, said, didn't quite make that million after taxes. Uncle Sam, you know, took more than I thought. You know? She said, but that's okay. There's always next year. And she turned around and did it again. And that year, she did do that. She did accomplish her goal.
It's a million-dollar
and
company.
She has not turned around.
Company, yeah.
She has not turned around since then. Each year, she sets goals for herself, and she sets goals for her company on what she wants to accomplish. She was renting an office, and I said, you know, what's your goal? You know, which direction are you moving in now? She says, I want to become a general contractor, and I want to buy a building. I said, okay. So she did that. And this fall? Yeah, she closed on a building. She has her own brick and mortar now, and she got her general contracting opportunities and experience and has been able to expand and grow this company. And I saw her be that one person to the three people to now being over 20 people in her company. So for me, yeah, that's a direction, and that is what the city is trying to produce. The mayor often says, you know, that we want to have a Maynard Jackson moment. And so for those that don't know, Maynard Jackson was the mayor of Atlanta. And when it was time to rebuild Atlanta and rebrand Atlanta, he, you know, went out and got all these government contracts and everything. And the people that are the business owners in Atlanta basically said, well, you know, we're going to do this work. And he was like, no, we're not. You're not going to do this work. We're going to put some goals on this so that you can hire, minority and women to do some of this work. And they gave him pushback. And he says, okay. He said, here's the choice you have. You can choose to work with me or don't work with me, but we're still going to do this. And if we can't get it done, then I'm giving back all the money because we won't do it. And people were like, so the mayor says the same thing here. He has that commitment to MWBE. And before him, you know, I worked with Lovely, and Lovely had that same kind of commitment to MWBE. And that's how we've been able to go from 4.5 to 31.3 million in 5 years with MWBE spend.
MWBE, Minority and Women Owned Business Enterprises. By the way, a seven-figure company now. How about an eight? When are you going to be an eight-figure company?
Oh, give me about 3 years. I'm working on it. I got the plan in the works.
You believe that, don't you, Constance?
I do.
When we come back from our only break of the hour, we're going to talk to Sabrina Russell. Sabrina is the owner of SC Russell Trucking. And you've been hearing Lenora Page from Rochester Specialty Contractors, Inc. Constance Mitchell Jefferson is the purchasing agent for the city of Rochester and is really helping put together this upcoming conference that's happening from Wednesday to Friday, May 8th through the 10th. You can register at the site of the city of Rochester website, but we'll have a link as well in our show notes later today if you access it through the Connections page. So let's take that break and we'll come right back on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, Writers and Books is getting ready to host From the Margins to the Center, an upcoming conference at Writers and Books that seeks to tell stories and bring people together and help people learn how to break into the industry, how to start their own press, how to get published. It comes just before the second annual National Black Authors Day that has some local roots, and we'll talk about all of that next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I want to turn to Sabrina Russell, who is, as we were saying during our brief break, yes, the owner of SC Russell Trucking. But that's sort of scratching the surface of the resume. There's a lot here. Let's start with the trucking. It is now one of two women-owned and the only minority-owned large trucking company in the Finger Lakes region, Constance?
Yes. And the other one is MJ Dreyer. And both Sabrina and MJ are the recipients for this year's M&W Awards.
So that's happening now. And Sabrina, tell us how long you've been doing SC Russell Trucking first.
I started SC Russell Trucking in 2017.
And also on your list, Shepherd Paving, Bill's Topsoil, WJS Auto, SC Russell Property Management, SC Russell Transportation. Did I miss anything? I think that's how we do.
I think that's about it. That's
about- When did you start your first business?
In 2017.
Was it the trucking?
It was the trucking.
It was the trucking.
Yes.
So tell us what you do with the trucking.
So we do highways, roadways. We're a commercial trucking company. We assist with
wrecking,
topsoil, sand. We do driveways. We haul.
You're hauling. How far and wide do you go to haul?
We cover the Monroe County area. We've done snow removal in Buffalo.
So you say pretty local.
We're local.
How big's the company? How many employees?
I have 10 employees right now, 10 truck drivers, couple ladies in the office. So yeah.
Will we see your logos out there if we're driving like today?
Absolutely.
Might see SC Russell truck.
Absolutely.
You guys moving any sand or gravel today?
We are moving tearing up some roadways.
It's that time of year, I guess.
Yes.
What put you in trucking in a line of work to begin with, Sabrina?
My kid's grandfather. He was the first African-American male that I met that had his own business. He started a paving company, and I was very impressed with that. Following through with that a couple of years later, their father started a trucking company, and that was in 1990. And I helped him with all his paperwork for that and helped him build that business. And I've been in trucking ever since. So that's been since like 1990.
Okay. And now that you have your own company, how's it going?
Amazing. I used to work in for the county. And it was a struggle. I did that for a few years. And
why was it a struggle?
Because my heart was into the trucking. And that's where I just wanted to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. But after having my kids, I said, I have to have something that's more steady. And so I worked for the county for about 15 years. And as I did that, I kept saying, this isn't what I want. So as my kids got older and I was able to, you know, wean away from them, I went back to the trucking. And I love it. I love being a business owner. I love having my own time. I love going down the street and seeing my name go down the street. and my drivers, and they're all amazing. So that's what I love about it, just being free and working with the different companies.
Now, I'm kind of filled with a similar kind of wonder if you occasionally deal with the idea that, well, you know, trucking's a man's business. You ever hear that?
Absolutely.
You hear that?
All the time.
And what do you tell them?
It's now a woman's business.
Watch me.
It's now a woman's business. I'm here. And that's what I love about it. Just seeing when people look and they go, what do you do? And a lot of times I just say, I dispatch. So as they get into the conversation, I'm going, and then I finally fess up that, you know, I own the trucking. But generally I just say, I dispatch until the conversation gets deeper. But yeah, that's.
Do you think you've lost work or been denied work because of who you are?
Have I lost work? I haven't lost work because of who I am. I think it was more interesting. I was speaking to a company one time, and actually had to go and meet them. And I told them who I was and what company I was from. And they looked at me and they said, well, we thought that was an old white guy. And I said, no, it's me. How are you? I'm S.C. Russell. So because I never really write down my full name, nobody knew if I was a man or a woman to start. So as...
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. So as they got to meet me and find out who I actually was, the attitude kind of changed. But it was fine for me because I knew as I started, I wasn't going to gain as much business because I was a woman and I was coming out and I'm going, hey, no matter if I had 2017 trucks, they didn't care who I was. It was one of those things of we don't know her. We don't know where these trucks came from, and we don't want to play in the sandbox with her. And so as they would see these particular trucks, they was another, my mentor actually, would hire me to work along with him. So as I worked along with him, they started seeing my name more and more. And then I started being able to get my own contracts. But it was only after I obtained my MWBE certification.
I know you want to just be evaluated on the quality of your company's work.
That's it.
Would be beautiful if that's the only thing people were thinking about, right? Can you do the job?
Exactly.
How's your track record? And what do you tell people? How's your track record?
My track record is amazing. And I say that not to, you know, be cocky or anything like that, but my drivers are phenomenal. And I watch them every day. We get to the office extremely early every morning. And I watch these guys go out. I watch them do their job. I show up to sites to watch them because I get calls that my guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do. So I make sure that I'm sitting on jobs so that I can advocate for them. And I'm a strong advocate for my drivers. And you can't tell me that my drivers aren't doing. And when they are doing what they're not supposed to be doing, I'm there to get on them, you know, because we're family. But at the same time, no, my guys are amazing. And that's what makes me love showing up every day and making sure they get what they need.
Where do you get most of your business?
Bids through the city. Actually, at this point now, it's because they know I'm an MWBE, like they automatically reach out to me. The primes automatically reach out to me because I am that MWBE, that MW.
Yeah, and I would say too, I think there's a couple reasons for that. One is there were three large trucking companies in Rochester at one time. There was Bill's Topsoil, there was MJ Dreyer, and there's S.C. Russell. And she was the smallest, but again, was the three largest trucking companies. Unfortunately, her husband, Bill, passed away, and she inherited that company. So she still has Bill's Topsoil, but she's been able to propel S.C. Russell to top what Bill was doing when he was alive. So I would say that she's doing something right. I also would say that there's a lot of trucking work out here now, more than there are MWBEs to go around. So in the trucking arena, it used to be non-regulated in New York State. It's a lot more regulated now. And that you could be an independent driver. You could have one truck and you could drive that every day and you could show up to companies like Sabrina's and say, hey, I'm ready to work. You know, you got some work out here. And they would put you on call because you would be able to have work every now and then. Now, they put you on call. They put you on payroll if they can, because there is so much work out here in the construction, street construction arena, that there's not enough truckers and there's not enough people that are certified CPL drivers, CDL drivers to do this. It's really sad that, you know, we can't find a way to turn that around because there's more work out here than people would know. So if you just take the time and go take the driver's courses and get that CDL license, the world could open up to you.
This is the purchasing agent for the city of Rochester. Constance would know. So a lot of opportunity there. What do you know in 2024 that you wish you might have known earlier in your career?
How to prepare, how to bid, how to access the different services that the city offered. I think that would have helped me more in 2017. And now that I know the services that they have, and I know that there's a Constance out there to help our business and it actually monitors it and is willing to talk to you and guide you. I think that that is what truly helped me over the past few years. I know at the past 4 years, it has really, really helped me.
Why are you a better bidder now?
Because I know what the bidding means. And I know what the bidding means, and I know that in doing the bidding, it's not a matter of if you think you're significant. It's a matter of playing with everybody, you know, being on the same scope as everybody and making sure that as you're bidding, you're preparing for the other people that are coming into the arena with you.
I think it's all about too increasing your knowledge of estimating, because when you have to go in and estimate a job, and some people estimate it too high and some people estimate it too low, you know, so you have to know how to find that middle ground, and you have to know where you can up the price and where you need to lower the price so that you can be competitive in that bidding.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, Sabrina, when you talk about the pride that you have in your work and what your team is doing and what you think a certain job should be worth based on the quality that mm-hmm. you can do, but then knowing that you may be bidding against somebody else,
right.
I imagine there's a lot of learning that goes on how to nail that bid.
Absolutely.
That you're still paid well, you're paid respectfully for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
But you can get the work in the first place, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's okay when you look at some jobs and you go, well, why are they, you know, supposedly getting paid more than me, which you don't know if they're getting paid more than you or not. But it's like, I'm right here in the neighborhood. It doesn't matter, because depending on what their bid was as opposed to yours, that determines it.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, your kids are a little older. All of our kids are a little older now. Mm-hmm. You know, you thought working, 15 years for the county, you were thinking about what was meaningful to you and what really kind of fired you up. And no offense to the county work, whatever you're doing, it just didn't ring your bell the way this does. Obviously, this does. Yeah. Being a small business owner, you're someone who obviously loves the grind. And I'm curious to know, when you think about what your kids want to do and what you want to sort of represent to them and even perhaps leave to them, have you thought about all those things?
I have. I always told my kids that just because their father and I are into trucking, that does not have to be their path. Their path can be whatever they want. My oldest son left. Both my kids got their CDLs when they were, I think, 18 years old. And my oldest one went off to college, came back, and he's doing trucking. Has nothing to do with what I paid for college for. But he is back in trucking, and he's doing driveways. My youngest son, he goes, Mom, I'm just not even going to waste your money. I'm just going to continue with the trucking, which he is. So he drives, and he repairs, and he dispatches. He's like my right hand. So I think that the knowledge their father left with them and what I'm teaching them right now, that when I decide to retire, which is going to be a long time from now, that it's going to be in good, both companies will be in good hands.
You think they're proud of you?
I do. They've told me. I don't know if they just wanted something at the time, but that's what they said.
It's an awesome story of success, and these are the kind of stories that are kind of right under our nose, that until we have a chance to talk to people like Constance, because they're working all the time. It's not like Sabrina and Lenore are coming on Connections all the time. They're busy. They're not easy to schedule here. Constance, I appreciate you doing this. And in our last few minutes, I just want to draw on, I think, one other important point here. It's taken a lot of work for Sabrina and Lenore to build their successful companies, to learn how to bid, to kind of get into that groove of understanding how to find the work, get the work, mm-hmm. how to grow the company. And so I know the people who may be attending in a couple of weeks. Again, it's May 8th through the 10th at the Riverside Convention Center. Mm-hmm. Registration still open for at least another week or so. And we'll have a link on our show notes page. You know, it's going to take some time for people who are new into the field of maybe business ownership, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership. Mm-hmm. But it does seem to me like this is a pretty good couple of role models who are in the studio with us this hour. And do you get the sense that there is a path for people who want to try to pursue this, and there are role models and there are opportunities?
There are. And, you know, I have two women here today. I don't want it to be said that, you know, I don't have males that I work with. I just happen to they happen to be available and stuff today. But I would say anyone that has stick-to-itiveness, that has that drive and determination. And I guess the common theme I find with both of these ladies is the passion. They each went after a passion. And even though the context of that passion has grown and changed as they've grown and changed, they still have that passion. They still have that desire to succeed, that desire to see, okay, what other challenge can I take on? If you're that type of individual, it doesn't matter whether you're a minority or a woman, it matters that you have that. You have that stick-to-itiveness. You have that grind, like you use the word grind, that you have that and that you're willing to put that into place so that you can succeed. This conference and, you know, opportunities through the county and through the state that have trainings like this, you need to take advantage of it. I mean, you know, I think that my mother used to always say to me, once you have it in your head, no one can take it from you. And so she would always emphasize education. I say the same thing to business owners. Too often, business owners become stagnant because they stop growing. And that is one of the things that's going to be talked about at this conference. But it's also, I think our speakers that are coming in for the conference are also going to put that in. You know, one speaker is the former vice president of the Office of Minority and Women Business Development, and the other speaker is the current. And so there will be an opportunity for them to share their stories and their economic development backgrounds and their judicial and law backgrounds and all of that sort of stuff that brought them to these offices. But for me, it is a desire to see my community be better. It is an opportunity to see small businesses succeed. It's an opportunity for me to work with women and people of color because I fall into both of those, you know, to see them succeed. And that's probably why I'm so passionate about what I do.
Well, maybe that's a good place to start to wrap up this conversation. Constance talked about the importance of business owners continuing to grow and learn, not get stagnant. Obviously, that's worked out for Lenora, who continues to set these ambitious goals and achieve them. You know, you heard your colleague Sabrina over there saying that she's not thinking about retirement anytime soon. What does the next 3 to 5 years look like if you are as successful as you want to be, Lenora?
The next 3 to 5 years looks like expansion, as far as developing the building we just purchased, doing the incubator for new businesses coming in. It looks like expanding our workforce, expanding our work into other areas, as far as building on the GC aspect of it, getting more into that project management type work, and then elevating the team that works with me. Because what I continuously do with them is, I'll say, oh, I signed you up for this class. Oh, I signed you up. And they're like, okay. So I just don't want them to be a worker bee. I want them to understand the concept of what we're doing. So they're in project management, you know, and they're holding positions that they may never hold at another company. So they're managing projects. You know, I have one project manager who never would have known, he managed a $1 million project. by the end we were done, the project was $1 million. And to say to them, look what you did. You know, going into this, you were concerned, you were afraid. I told you we got this. Whatever you need, whatever support you need, I got it for you. You know, if there's a builder's exchange, whatever they're doing, supervisors training, management training, I put them into that. Even with estimating, we all took an estimating class together. So we were sitting, you know, at our desk after 5 o'clock for like 12 weeks. You know, just we were all on there together, you know, learning different things about how to estimate, how to do your bids, and working it together. So just building the workforce, because I don't plan to do this forever, but I don't want to see the business close because I'm not there. You know, yes, I have children. They have their own lives and ambitions, and they're doing the things that they love to do. But I don't want to leave behind mm-hmm. the people who have made this business a success. So that's an opportunity for them to grab hold to what we're doing and expand it to a whole nother level, because they also have families and homes that they're looking to expand and grow in.
Beautiful. 30 seconds or so, Sabrina. Next 3 to 5 years, what's it look like for you?
I would like to expand as well. Get a larger piece of property, get a few buildings put on that property, and increase the revenue, increase the jobs for the people in our community.
Do you all ever take vacations?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I do.
Got to find ways to stay sane. I want to thank our guests. And if you see SC Russell Trucking going around town, now you know that's Sabrina Russell's company. Thank you for telling that story this hour.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. And Lenora Page is the owner of Rochester Specialty Contractors, Inc. And for a long time, you might have known them under a number of names here. They were Flower City Monitor Services, but now they do GC. They do all kinds of work. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for telling your story. And Constance Mitchell Jefferson, the purchasing agent for the City of Rochester and the person behind this upcoming conference, MWBE, Minority and Women-Owned Business Enterprises. The conference is May 8th through the 10th at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center. They would love to have you register at cityofrochester.gov, or we'll post the link on our show notes later today. Thank you for being
here. Thank you, Evan, for having us.
Great to have you. More connections coming up in just a moment.